Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go, gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shooting lights out. Hello, beautiful people. How y'all doing? Hope y'all enjoyed y'all Easter. Hope you enjoyed the weekend. A weekend full of sports. We had the NHL playoffs. We had WrestleMania weekend. And oh, we had the NBA playoffs. What a weekend it was on Easter weekend. Hope y'all enjoyed it. Hope y'all did good. Hope y'all had a great time. The Playmakers in the building riding solo today. No Cole Johnson today. He's taking care of some family matters. But he assured me he'll be back. So I'm riding solo today. No problem, no biggie. I used to do this solo. So I'm pretty good where I'm at. Man, we're going to get into it. It's the playoffs, man. We're going to talk about the playoffs. All eight series are through game ones. Game twos begin tonight. In game threes, we begin going towards the weekend. So it's going to be a lot of things to cover today in these games that started in the playoffs. But I want to thank y'all for tuning in today. We are live on the Playmakers Bar YouTube channel. We are live on the Playmakers Bar X/Twitter account. So whatever you're on X or if you're on YouTube, go ahead and hit us up in that chat. Thank y'all for tuning in. Remember that you can watch the playback of this on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, also on the Real Rise Radio. So I'm enjoying that as well. But yeah, man, I want to hear y'all thoughts on these playoffs so far. Every series is through game one. Like I said earlier, games twos begin tonight. And we're going to move forward. It is the race to the Larry O'Brien Trophy has officially begun. But before we dive into the playoffs, got to make sure you get your news and notes from around the hardwood. And to begin around the hardwood, the Indiana Fever are exercising their fourth-year option to keep one day founding players, they star players, LaLia Boston through next season. Smart move by them. Not wasting time. Now you wait till the season to play out. Go ahead. Make sure one of your cornerstones stays a part of this team. You had a great offseason. I can't. Before the WNBA start, I'll be doing my top five teams to look out for or the teams to look for in the WNBA. Okay. And Indiana will be on that list. They have won the offseason, in my opinion. They won the offseason. That's all I'm going to say. But when we get to my top five teams going into the season, there's no Indiana is in the top five. I'm just going to give you that spoiler right there. The other four, you have to come wait and see when that happens. But smart move by the Indiana Fever. Go ahead, keep one of your cornerstones. Keep her around. You already got Caitlin Clark. You made a lot of great changes. Go ahead. Don't even waste time. Go ahead and assess that right. Keep her for the next season as well, and then move forward. Moving on. We go from good news to bad news, man. The Seattle Storm, they lost two players. Jordan Hartstein and Nika Mola, both to ACL injuries. Both playing basketball, by the way. Both playing basketball. Playing in the different organizations that they play for. Because you know the WNBA don't pay the ladies like they should be paid. So you have to go elsewhere to continue to play basketball so they can make ends meet is the term that people like to use. But doing so, both of them tore their ACL. Bad start for the Seattle Storm. Going into a new direction with their franchise. That's tough to see right there. Very tough. Hope for both ladies to have a full recovery. Full and healthy recovery, and look forward to seeing you ladies in 2026, okay? But, man, that is heartbreaking to have this happen, but unfortunately, injuries are a part of sports. Injuries are a part of life. And we just hope for the best, pray for the best, and that these ladies will make it back to playing the game that they love in 2026. From there, we head to the NBA. Dame Lillard expected to return for game two or game three. The way that him and Tyrese Haliburton was terping out that game one, we're going to need Dame time to show up and put on. Just like Young Jeezy say, put on for my city, on for my city. We need Dame to put on for the Milwaukee Bucks because they need the help. They need the help. But yeah, chirping with Tyrese Haliburton and the Indiana Pacers. When Dame get back, don't let Milwaukee. I'm going to save it when we talk game one. I'm going to save it. And then finally, Kenny Atkins was named Coach of the Year by fellow coaches from the NBA. Other coaches in the NBA voted Kenny Atkinson as the Coach of the Year by peers. So congratulations to him. That is not the NBA Coaches Year Award. That is from the coaches part of the Coaches of the Year Award. He is in the running for the NBA Coach of the Year Award along with J.B. Bickerstaff. And I forgot the third member for that award. Those awards have not been rewarded yet. I'm pretty sure they'll be rewarded throughout the playoffs like they always do, a week at a time with TNT doing all the Giannis and stuff like that. But congratulations to Kenny Atkins. He has done a phenomenal job with the Cleveland Cavaliers, the number one seed in the East. J.B. Bickerstaff, don't sleep on him. Detroit's in the playoffs. They're the sixth seed, but J.D. Bickerstaff has done a very great job with the Detroit Pistons. But this one right here, congratulations to Kenny Atkins. But the NBA Awards has not been awarded yet, so don't get confused. Okay, don't get confused. And that would do it for Around the Hardwood. All right, quick break here, and then when we come back, oh, it's time to talk NBA playoffs, because we are underway for the Larry O'Brien Trophy.
Join the transporter to Hades.
Your butt and gut becomes one.
Join the reformer of hooker whores.
This is my daughter, Placenta Booty Johnson.
Join the bronze car.
Whenever you are in distress, take off your baseball cap and throw it in the air.
Join your very own superhero of broadcasting, Chris Bass.
So whatever color crown they get, they palm it and do two circles, and that translates to, I can beat up black people.
As she takes you through the week's paces in Baseline, live every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, 5... No, Pacific time zone people, just stay asleep when this is on live and just catch the recording. Oh, I'm sorry. Exclusively on the Chris Bass YouTube channel.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Into the Net FC.
Kylian Mbappe just all of a sudden finally understood his role, and I think he finally understood that everything Kylian Mbappe has accomplished already. You know, there is still a hell of a lot waiting for him in the future. Kylian Mbappe is only 24 years old. He has accomplished so much. And you know what? Kylian Mbappe has not even reached his prime.
Finally seeing, you know, the Marcus Rashford we have been hoping for such a long time, you know. But, you know, this game, you know, after everything Manchester United has been, you know, doing lately, you know, this was actually the ultimate test, you know, to see if Manchester United, you know, honestly was all of a sudden for real.
I explain this. The United States, maybe they have to suffer this loss as a lesson to learn to prepare for the future. Because 4 years from now, the World Cup is in not one, not two, but three countries. The United States of America, Canada, and Mexico. Into the Net FC is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music.
And welcome back to Shining the Lights Out, ladies and gentlemen, here on this glorious Monday, April 21st, 2025. And now let's get to it. The NBA playoffs began over the weekend. And it's again back on Saturday. It was game one in the Eastern Conference when the fourth seed Indiana Pacers hosted the fifth seed of Milwaukee Bucks. This should have been an interesting game here until it wasn't. You know, Indiana put their foot on the Bucks' neck and they didn't take it off, outscoring them 34-18 in the second quarter, building a double-digit lead at halftime. Milwaukee tried to come back in the third, but in the fourth quarter, this wasn't enough. He just got punched in the mouth one too many times. Pascal Siakam led the Indiana Pacers with 25 points, 10 for 15 from the field, 3 for 5 from three-point range with 7 boards on the day. Those of you who are worrying about other people like Tyrese Halliburton, didn't give you his number. Tyrese Halliburton had 10 points along with 7 rebounds and 12 assists on the day. He had a double-double, didn't shoot the ball well. He was only 3 for 13 from the field, missed all of his three-pointers, which is 7 of them, but it didn't matter because they defended home court. Miles Turner gave you 19 points. Andrew Nembhard gave you 17 points. You got 11 off the bench from T.J. McConnell. You got 13 from Marvin. It's just a team effort from the Indiana Pacers, and Giannis Antetokounmpo had 36 and 12, and that was basically it. I mean, no other star. I mean, Taurean Prince had 0 points. Kyle Kuzma, 0 points, 0 boards, 0 assists. Zero steals, zero. Basically, zeros across the board for Kyle Kuzma. The man took 5 shots, missed both of his three-pointers, missed both free throws. That man is zero all over the board. And Doc Rivers said, hey, man, we need to get him. Well, we need to find ways to get him involved. But damn it, Kyle Kuzma, go grab a goddamn rebound. Go play some damn defense. 0 points, 0 for 5, 0 for 2 from the three-point line, 0 for 2 from the free throw line. No rebounds, no assists, no steals, no blocks. What you just on? Why are you on the court if you ain't doing nothing? Doc Rivers, we need to find it. No, go get the goddamn ball. Go get it. Go get the damn ball. What the hell is this? You ain't no scrub. You don't suck at basketball, Kyle Kuzma. We watched you play. We know you can hoop when it's time to hoop. Your ass in the hoop Saturday. We don't know what the hell your ass was doing. You couldn't get me one rebound, not one assist. You couldn't help a teammate score a bucket. You couldn't get a defensive rebound when Indiana missed shots. Like, you couldn't do none of that. You couldn't do none of that. None of that. None of that appeared in your brain on Saturday. Just zeros across the board. Here's the thing. That would have been anybody else that I can say out here. Y'all been quiet on Kyle Kuzma. That would have been Draymond Green, Mr. Triple Single. See, I'd have been like, see, there he go, but Mr. Triple Single. That's all he can do. But Kyle Kuzma did. Hey, Kyle Kuzma literally did jack nothing Saturday. Literally. Zeros across the board, and he's in the starting lineup. Now, I'm not saying he shouldn't be in the starting lineup. He definitely should be in the starting lineup, but they missed the playoffs. That's why I tweeted out there. So this is how the Bucks gonna start the playoffs, huh? Because that's the first game of the playoffs. Was this game right here? The very first game of the playoffs. And we get to watch Giannis Antetokounmpo do what he does best, and everybody else don't do jack nothing. Especially Kyle Kuzma with zeros across the board. Now, Kyle Kuzma, I expect you to make up for it in game two, some form or fashion, because you ain't do nothing. Like nothing. I don't want to hear no damn Doc Rivers, and I love Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers, the former coach of the Orlando Magic. I love Doc Rivers. But goddamn it, you is the same coach that had Trace McGrady and Grant Hill and blew a 3-1 lead to the Detroit Pistons. We needed one game to beat the Detroit Pistons, and you couldn't get one more. You just couldn't get one more. 3-1 lead. And you're going to sit here and defend Kyle Kuzma. I can see you. Kyle Kuzma got you five rebounds, got you 2 to 3 assists and got you a block or something, but that man has zero in every freaking category. Zero. That is a no-show. He didn't show up to play. I know we like to look at James Harden as a no-show, but this is literally a no-show. When it's a zero, that man, how many minutes? That man played 22 minutes. Kyle Kuzma played 22 minutes and straight zeros across the board. The only thing he did was pick up two fouls. That's it. Two fouls. I'm surprised he did that. Because everything else is a goddamn zero. Hell, you didn't even turn the ball over. You did nothing. Literally. No assists, no rebounds, no blocks, no steals, no turnovers, no points, no buckets. The only thing you got on your thing is two fouls. That's it. What is that? No, it's just game one. I'm probably doing too much. It's just game one. But damn, that is not what I expected to start the playoffs. I didn't expect that.
But that's what we got. There go your team statistic here. Indiana 52% from the field, 38% from three-point range, 8 turnovers. Milwaukee 42% from the field, 24% from three-point range, 10 turnovers. Fairly interesting numbers. You know, the three-point numbers, 24% doesn't help at all if you're Milwaukee. And getting outshot by 10% doesn't help either. But if you want the actual numbers for those percentages, I'll give it to you. Milwaukee was 35 from 84 from field goal. And 3 points, Milwaukee was 9 for 37. Jeez. You guys missed 28 goddamn threes. Y'all missed 28 threes. 19 for 28 from the free throw line. That comes up to 68%. So you can't hit free throws either on the road, which is another bad thing for you. On the Indiana side, 42 for 81 from the field. 13 for 34 from the three-point range, and there was 20 for 26 from the free throw line. But this is what happens. Indiana takes the 1-0 lead as they defend home court in game one. Good job for them. Now, most of these games were pretty much well in hand at some point in time, except for maybe two games. One of those games were in Denver, Colorado, where they're 4th seed and the 5th seed on the west side, Western Conference, took place. And Nuggets 112, Clippers 110 in overtime. Nikola Jokic 29 points, 24 from the field. Excuse me. 9 rebounds and 12 assists. That man almost had another triple-double against the Clippers, which he has been known to do to the Clippers. And he almost did it again. Here's the interesting thing here, because when I show you these team statistics here, you will understand why I'm going to feel some type of way. Clippers, 50% from the field, 36% from three-point range. They had 20 turnovers. The Denver Nuggets, 43, maybe 44% from the field, 33% from three-point range with 11 turnovers. I'm adding the free throws in here. The Clippers were 12 for 16 from the field, that is 75%. The Nuggets were 21 for 27 from the free throw line, that is 78%. Sure, you shoot 50% from the field. You shoot 36% from three-point range, and you still find a way to lose that damn game. How do you find a way to lose that? Oh, you turned the ball over 9 more times than the goddamn Denver Nuggets. And my co-host, Kuma Ken, is probably laughing his ass off listening to me doing this. Points conceded off turnovers. 29 by the freaking Clippers. Your 20 turnovers led to 29 points for the Denver Nuggets. What was the final score? Oh, 110 to 112 in overtime. Another problem that I have. You sent the Nuggets to the line 11 more times than you. They took 11 more free throws than you. So you was fouling too, like some dummies. In which they made 9 more free throws than you. What's the final score? 112 to 110 in overtime. By the way, and the main thing that is like ridiculous here, and you would think a clip somehow with Ty Lue as the head coach and Jeff Aragone as one of the assistant coaches, and you have Kawhi Leonard as your face of the franchise, you have James Harden, and you have Zubats, and you have all these guys who've been there. Y'all still can't keep a 15-point lead against the goddamn Denver Nuggets. This is the 8th freaking time that y'all had a 15-point lead on the Denver Nuggets in the playoffs, and they came back and won a goddamn game. This the 8th freaking time this has happened. You would think at some point you would get the freaking memo that we have a 15-point lead. We've been here before. They like to come back from this. How about we make sure that door is firmly closed shut? Apparently, like us. What's the final score again? 112 Denver Nuggets, 110 Los Angeles Clippers, overtime. I don't know. I just don't know what the Los Angeles Clippers. I just don't know. That's why when you saw me when I did talk to the NBA throughout the season, or season 3 of Shooting Lights, I really mentioned the Clippers. Because it's stupid stuff like this that happens with the Clippers every time. That's why when you did have Cole Jones on here, he gets on me about the Clippers, because my dumb behind for years upon years kept picking the goddamn Clippers to the point where I just stopped talking about the Clippers altogether because of stupid stuff like this. You're on the road. You have a 15-point lead. You're shooting better than the home team from the field. You're shooting better than the home team from the three-point lane, and you still find a way to lose the game. You still find a way to lose that game. I don't get it. Man, I gave you Nikola Jokic statistics. I know some of you are asking, what about some of the faces that you just called? Okay, let's go to James Harden. James Harden, 32 points, 11 from 22 from the field, 4 from 9 from 3-point range, 6 boards, 11 assists. Can't blame James Harden. James Harden came to play. King John came to do his thing. And yes, he was a menace in the fourth quarter, as he usually is. Zubats, 21 points. 10 for 15 from the field. 13 boards, gave me a double-double. No issues there. Kawhi Leonard, 22 points. 9 for 15 from the field. That is not good. It's 50%, but that's not what he normally does. 1 for 3 from three-point land. 6 rebounds, 2 assists. You'd be like, okay, but Kawhi Leonard did some good things. In the last 5, okay, those of you who are new to this, clutch time. It's the last 5 minutes of each half. Last 5 minutes going into halftime. The last 5 minutes going to the end of the game. The last 5 minutes going to the end of the game before this game got put in overtime because the Denver Nuggets decided to come back from a 15-point deficit. Kawhi Leonard took 2 whole shots in 5 minutes in the fourth quarter. 2 shots! By one Kawhi Leonard in the last 5 minutes of a critical, and I do mean critical, game one of the NBA playoffs. 2 shots. James Harden didn't shy away from the moment. What the hell was Kawhi Leonard doing? What was Kawhi Leonard doing? Because let me go to the Denver Nuggets side of it. I gave you Nikola Jokic stats. You almost had a triple double against you again. Aaron Gordon, 25 points, 8 boards. Jamal Murray, 21 points, 9 assists, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. He almost had a triple double his damn self. Westbrook came off the bench, gave him 15 points. Technically, he could have had about 20. He missed. Actually, could have had about 25. He missed about 3 layups. So, I mean, for some reason, when the Clippers have the Nuggets by the neck, they got them by the throat, and they're about to end life for them, and they just let go, and then the Nuggets get the strength. They turn into the Incredible Hulk, and then all of a sudden, they can't stop them. This is what happens with the Clippers and the Nuggets. The Nuggets be down and out. They are about to be done. They're finna put the final touches on them, and then all of a sudden, here comes, they turn into the Hulk in time, and all of a sudden, the Clippers don't know what to do anymore. A 15-point lead, and you blew it. The 8th time that you have done this to the Denver Nuggets in the playoffs. The 8th time, by the way. Kawhi Leonard, 2 shots in the last 5 minutes of the game. 2 freaking shots. And you want to know why the game went overtime and all of a sudden the Nuggets got away with it. Two shots. Two. By the way, that last one was the dumbest thing I ever seen. Mike, really, Karai? You can get a better look than that. Come on, man. Come on, man. It's just terrible. Terrible. So the Nuggets defend home court in game one. They are up 1-0. That's the closest we're going to get, ladies and gentlemen, on the weekend. I'm just going to let you know that right now. That is the closest we're going to get. Because after this one, they head back to the East. It was the three versus six seed as the three seed New York Knicks hosted the six seed Detroit Pistons. Shout out to JD Bigstop. We talked about you earlier on getting the Detroit Pistons back into the playoffs. It was a very, very, very lovely sight. Did some good things, and then the fourth quarter took place. 123-112 was the final score, and do you see the fourth quarter score? 40-21. 40-21 in the fourth quarter. That is a 19-point difference. You see the Knicks won by 11. I'm going to let y'all do math. As I can tell you, the Pistons were leading in the fourth quarter. Want to break it down to you? As you see, the first quarter tied up, and the Knicks took a 2-point lead at halftime. The Detroit Pistons took an 8-point lead into the fourth quarter, and they got outscored 40-21. By the way, interesting that I'm saying they got outscored 40-21 because take that 21, right? And put a zero by it. Meaning the New York Knicks in the fourth quarter went on a 21-0 run in the fourth quarter. So the amount of points Detroit scored in the entire quarter is the run that the Detroit Pistons went on in the fourth quarter to blow that game open. As you can see, Jalen Brunson, 34 points, 12 of 27 from the field, 8 assists. Carl Anthony Towns and OG Anunoby both had 23 points each in this game. If you Detroit, you looking like we were there. We were right there, and then we let them score 21 and there's points on us, and it just got away. You can't let that happen. But you're young. You're learning, though. You're learning. But yeah, so 21-0 run in the playoffs is ridiculous, no matter what it is. Victor, what's going on? Thank you for tuning in, sir. But yeah, when you get outscored out of all the quarters, having a 21-0 run in any game is ridiculous within itself. But to let it happen in the fourth quarter, ooh, Detroit, that hurts. That really hurts. But you have to take it as it is. Yeah, take it as it is. Yeah, just look at you and say, you know what? We walked into Madison Square Garden. We had an 8-point lead in the fourth quarter. We just let them get hot at the wrong quarter, and we couldn't do nothing else from that point forward. That's all. I'm trying to look at the bright side if you're the Detroit Pistons fan. But if you're mad about that 21-0 run, I don't blame it because damn, that just don't happen in the playoffs like that. You just don't get routed 21-0 like that. You just don't. But then again, you might want me to get something. So. But for Detroit, Tobias Harris showed up. 25 points, 8 for 13 from the field. 4 for 5 for 3-point range, gave you 6 boards. As one of the veterans who've been in playoff scenarios, who should know how this goes. So he can probably get the young players out of the mindset that, damn, they just whooped their ass in the fourth quarter. Hey, it happens. It's playoffs, man. Things happen. It's a game of runs. You got to stay in it. I can see that from Tobias Harris. Kate Cunningham in his playoff debut, not too shabby. 21 points. You know, he went 8 for 21 from the field. Anytime you got the same amount of points as a field goal attempts, I don't like it. But this is his playoff debut. I'm going to let this one slide. He did give you 12 assists and 6 boards. So, I mean, he tried. He's learning. He's trying. Sam Hardaway Jr., who's familiar. Jim Hardaway Jr. was just in the NBA Finals just a year ago. 19 points. Can't be mad at that. Definitely can't. Malik Beasley came in off the bench for the Detroit Pistons, who has playoff experience with the Milwaukee Bucks. 20 points off the bench, you know. But it's the other guys, you know. It's the Thompsons and the Durhams and the Cunninghams and the Stewarts of the world They haven't been here before. They have to learn. They gotta learn. They gotta lean on the vets to understand how to go. You got game one in year. You know, you had an 8-point lead at Madison Square Garden against the New York Knicks. They just whooped your ass in the fourth quarter. That's all that is. You just got your ass whooped in the fourth quarter. That's the difference in game one. New York Knicks whooped Detroit in the fourth quarter. That is the takeaway from game one of this. New York won fourth quarter. No, New York dominated fourth quarter, beat Knicks. I mean, beat Pistons. That's all you got to say. That's it. Because the first three quarters, Detroit was throwing some blows. You know, Detroit was throwing some blows. Fourth quarter, New York said, hey, wait a minute. We're the three seed here. We at home. We need to show these youngins how it's done here, okay? Wait a minute. Hold on. Slow your horses. That's it. That's all. But good showing for the New York Knicks, though. Proud of them. As you can see, the team statistics here with the New York Knicks and the Detroit Pistons. There we go. 52%, almost 53% for the Knicks. 39% from three-point range for the Knicks. Detroit shot 48% from the field, 47% from three-point range. Usually when you shoot 47% from the field and from three-point range, you usually win those games. Unless the team like New York Knicks is shooting almost 53% from the field. That's different. But when you can go 47%, and Victor, you watch a lot of basketball, when a team can shoot 47% from the field and 47% from three, you feel pretty good about your chances when on the road here. And anybody who watches basketball, you feel pretty good about your chances of winning on the road when you're shooting 47% from the field and from three-point range. So if you're Detroit, take the good stuff with it, not just the bad stuff, because, yes, you did take a L. You did get your ass whooped in the fourth quarter. But you shot 47. When you shoot 47% from the field and three-point, I like your chances of winning a road game. Let's just be quite honest. I like your chances. Just New York caught fire in the fourth quarter, and that was it. That's all. Let's do it. And then the final game. Oh, my gosh. The other 3-6 seed, this one in the Western Conference Final, where the LA Lakers are hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves. The most talked about series going into the playoffs, because it's Ant-Man versus Luka and LeBron James. And yet, neither one of them was a star of the night in this game. Yeesh. 117 Timberwolves, 95 Lakers. Yes, the Minnesota Timberwolves have snatched home court right out the gate from LeBron James, Luka Doncic, and the Los Angeles Lakers. As you can see here, Anthony Edwards was 22 points, 8 for 22 from the field, 4 for 9 from 3-point range, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. He did miss quite a bit of time with cramping issues, so he wasn't really that effective. Jaden McDaniels, by the way, 25 points, 11 for 13 from the field, 3 for 3 from 3-point range, 9 rebounds. Nas Reed, 23 points, 8 for 12 from the field, 6 for 9 from 3-point range with 5 rebounds. I mean, Anthony has some help. Ant-Man has some friends up in L.A. in the city of Angels, Tinseltown. What happened to the Lakers? Well, Luka gave you 37 with 8 boards. LeBron James, 19 points. 8 for 18 from the field for LeBron James. 1 for 5 from 3-point range. 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Also, Luka was 12 and 22 from the field. 5 of 10 from 3-point range, 8 rebounds, 1 assist. Damn near Luka shot 50% from the field and from damn 3-point range, so I can't fault him. LeBron James, 8 for 18, that don't look good. 1 for 5 from 3-point range, that don't look good. 3 assists, that's not LeBron James like. Austin Reeves, 16 points, 5 from 13 from the field, 3 from 8 from 3-point range with 3 rebounds, 3 assists. That's not good. Outside of them, the only three players that scored in double figures. Everybody else on the Lakers didn't even touch double figures. Hell, 91 was close enough. The next closest person was Rui Hachimura. He had 9. I mean, good gracious. LeBron James and Austin Reed combined for, let me see if I'm doing math, 13 for 31 from the field shooting. 4 for 13 from three-point range with 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and a combined total of 35 points. Luka had more points than both of y'all combined. That is terrible. That is unacceptable if you're a Los Angeles Lakers fan. And I am a Los Angeles land hater. I can't stand the Lakers. I want them to lose so damn quickly I can laugh. But if I'm going to be objective and honest here, well, damn, with Luka outscoring both of y'all put together, that's terrible. And he shot better than both of y'all put together, which is even more terrible. But it's game one. Ugly game one, to say the least, if you're a Lakers fan, because now you lost home court. I mean, you have to go to Minnesota, and you have to win the game. Not saying they can't do it, but I'm saying they have to now. Going into it, it was an option. It's an option. Because you get 4 games at home, you get 4 games at Crypto.com Arena. If you go to 7 games, the 7 games in L.A. You win all your home games, you win the series. Well, Minnesota took that away very quickly. Now you have to go to the Twin City, and you have to win a game. Because Minnesota, if all they Minnesota do is defend home court, they win the series. Because 3 games in Minnesota. They already took one in L.A. They took the first one at that. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not saying that they can't. I'm just saying they have to now. It is a must now. There's no if. It is a must. That if has turned to a must after one game for the Los Angeles Lakers. It's a must now. Like, they must win game 2 or else it's really going to get interesting in L.A., to say the least. It is a must now that you go to the Twin Cities and win a game. 51% from the field, 50% from 3. That is a recipe to win on the road. Wow. Wow. Lakers, 40% from the field, 36% from 3-point range, and you lost the game. I mean, not only you just lose, you got your ass whooped. They literally whooped your ass. Like, it was ugly. I watched that game. I was like, well, God, though, what the hell just happened to the Lakers in the second half? By the way, they got outscored 58 to 47 in the second half. And they got their ass whooped. If you want to add the second quarter in there with it, because Lakers had a 7-point lead after the first quarter. And then Minnesota just took over from there. You outscored them 38 to 20 going into halftime. So you went from being down 7 to up 11 at halftime. And then you outscored them 58 to 47. So you outscored them in the second half by 11 after you was already up, which is why you won by 22 points. An ass whooping for the ages if you're a Los Angeles Lakers fan. And it's right out the gate. Right out the gate. King James. You have to respond now, sir. I'm not saying you won't respond, but I'm saying you have to. There's a difference. But I'm saying you have to because you have to. You have to win a game in Minnesota. It can be game 3. It can be game 4. Hell, it can even be game 6. But you have to win a game in Minnesota now. OKC, UFC, KFC, Lakers in 5. Does that still stand with Unk right now? Is Shannon Sharpe still comfortable in with Lakers in 5 now? Because the Timberwolves have stopped all that. And Ant-Man didn't even have a best game over there. He didn't play a good game. And they still whooped that ass. Very interesting. Because now if Ant-Man goes for the throat and he takes game 2, he takes both games in L.A., I might have to check on Big Jonathan, you know, doing his thing with the Lakers, you know. I might have to check on the other Jonathan Mathis, a sports judge, to make sure they still breathing. The Timberwolves take game 2. I'm just going to have to make sure they still breathing. Because Minnesota take both games in L.A. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. All right. That was Saturday. We're going to take our other break here. Then when we come back, we're going to dive into Sunday.
Welcome to Ringside Chaos.
Thing with Tony Khan now being in talks to WWE, I'm going to be honest with you.
I spoke to this with Ricky Litwinkiewicz, aka the Master of Mayhem, and he honestly believes that me talking about Tony Khan buying WWE is that basically I'm kind of wasting my time because Ricky believes it's never going to happen. Okay, now the wrestling fan that's been super supportive of Brody Lee as a wrestler and everything that WWE could have done with him and, you know, everything that he could have shown and, you know, offered for the wrestling business. You know, for me, I wasn't just a fan of Brody Lee himself, like in character. I strongly respected him, you know, as a human being. Like, I had a lot of respect for Jonathan Huber. You know, that's Mr. Brody Lee's real name. So basically, I had a lot of respect for Brody Lee, Luke Harper, and of course, Mr. Jonathan Huber. Ladies and gentlemen, Ringside Chaos is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
WWE Shop is your online source for all things WWE. Be a part of the site, man, and score wrestling gear for big events like WrestleMania or SummerSlam. From current superstars to legends, from Raw to SmackDown to NXT. Don't miss this chance to shop for the most awesome WWE merch. Shop for the best deals as well as WWE gift cards and save big on your favorite items. WWE Shop at Fanatics Experience.
Cool McCain.
You thought you wanted Gunther against Chad Gable, but you didn't. And I'm going to tell you why. Chad Gable would take everything that Gunther's done and bury it.
The Playmaker.
It was on sight. AJ Styles walked out there, seen LA Knight. Oh, okay, nigga. LA Knight hopped out the car. Let's go.
Break down everything in TNA, AEW, and all of the WWE programming. Join these two kings, Monarchs of Wrestling, live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Central. On the Play Caller Sports Talk YouTube channel.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting the Lights Out here. As that we just went through Saturday's action in the playoffs, and we're going to Sunday, Easter Sunday. And the top seeded, the number one overall team in the NBA, the Oklahoma City Thunder, taking on the Memphis Grizzlies in the 1-8 matchup in the West. And this happened. Now, there can be complaints all the way around about how this happened. One of the complaints that I heard, especially if you're a Memphis Grizzlies fan, is the fact that the Memphis Grizzlies was the last game to be played in a play-in on Friday. They were the first game on Easter Sunday. That game on Friday started at, if my memory serves me correctly, close to 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So that game probably didn't finish it close to 12:30. Okay. So that game probably didn't finish to 12:30 Saturday morning. And then there was the first game, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, which is again Oklahoma City. So you're looking at 12 o'clock their time in Oklahoma City, tip off. 36 hours. Let's give it 36 hours. The Memphis Grizzlies had 36 hours to go from surviving their season to playing Oklahoma City. That could be one complaint. Another complaint can be, where the hell was y'all at? Goddamn. Aaron Wiggins, 21 points, 8 for 15 from the field, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Jalen Williams, 20 points, 10 for 16 from the field, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. Notice you don't see Shai Gilgeous-Alexander name up there. 15 points, 4 for 13 from the field, 1 for 7 from 3-point range with 3 rebounds and 5 assists. SGA had a sucky game. A very sucky game. The Oklahoma City Thunder had 6 players in double figures. If you add Chad Holmgren to the mix with 19 points. If you add Isaiah Hartenstein with 14 points, and you add Luke Dort with 12 points. For the Memphis Grizzlies, only two players had double figures, both which scored 17 points. That would be one, John Morant, and the other one would be Marvin Bagley III off the bench. Desmond Bane, 9 points. Jerry Jackson Jr., 4 points. 2 for 13 from the field from Triple J. Triple J, it was 2 for 13. Zach E., in his first playoff action of his NBA career, 4 points. 2 for 5 from the field. He had 9 rebounds, though. He's learning that playoffs are different. Luke Kennard only had 12 minutes. I know they fired their coach, so Taylor Jenkins is not coaching this team, but whoever is coaching this team, you might want to play Luke Kennard a little bit more, sir, because you're going to need some shooting if you're going to try to make this a series with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Desmond Bankenball. We know about John Morant. All they got to do is stop the antics, and he'll be a hell of a superstar in the league. Triple J is no scrub. That man can play some damn ball. Zach E's in his rookie year. Okay. Scottie Pippen Jr., I like the name. I need to see him do it on the court like his daddy. Marvin Bagley, the man can play the game. He used to be with the Magic. He used to be with the Pistons as well. But I need Luke Kennard on the court a little bit more. I need Luke Kennard to get more than 12 minutes. You playing the Oklahoma City Thunder, sir. And this team likes to shoot. They play defense as well. They like to shoot too. Because they can shoot the goddamn ball. Okay? So you're going to need some shooting to counter their shooting ability as well. So if you're not going to play Luke Kennard, you're fighting yourself to a good old-fashioned four-game ass-whooping at the hands of the Oklahoma City Thunder. But you want to make things interesting, whoever's coaching the Memphis Grizzlies. Luke Kennard gets some more minutes. You're going to need some shooting. You're going to need shooting. You're just going to need it. Look at it. Memphis, 34% from the field, 17 from three-point range. Do I need to say any more of what Luke Kennard can mean to you, especially in the three-point department? You won't shoot 17% as a team. Luke Kennard is getting minutes. I'm just saying. You look at Oklahoma City, 50% from the field, 35% three-point range. Y'all shot so damn badly, they didn't even give a damn. Those of you who want a actual number for the Memphis Grizzlies in the three-point department that comes out to 17.6%, the Memphis Grizzlies shot 6 for 34. 6 for 34. Okay? For the field goal percentage, to make it 34.4%, 32 for 93. Oklahoma City, 50 for 99. From the field, 17 for 48 from three-point range. They hit 11 more threes than y'all. That is plus 33 in the three department for the Oklahoma City Thunder. 33. You got your ass whooped by 51. You do the math. And we didn't even get to the free throws. I don't even know what the free throws look like. Memphis was 10 for 12. Not bad. OKC was 14 for 15. So it was the three-point ball that kicked y'all ass. Plus 33 for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Then again, they were plus 18 in the field goal department. But if you take away the threes away, so I'm looking at, so that was 17. So I'm looking at 33. Made 2 pointers for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then for the Memphis Grizzlies, take away 6, looking at 26. Not that much. It's the three-point ball that whooped y'all ass. The three-point ball. Just damn. And that's how Easter Sunday started off in sports. With a 51-point ass whooping. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander wasn't even 1/4 of it. That man had 15 points of the 131. Shea gets on at 15 points of it. That means the Oklahoma City as a whole whooped on Memphis ass in game one. As a whole. Because damn. Damn. That's an asshole. I have watched the Lakers get their ass whooped. I have watched my Magic get their ass whooped. I have watched Cleveland with LeBron James get his ass whooped. I even watched LeBron with the Miami Heat get his ass whooped. I watched Boston get their ass whooped. But I have never seen anybody get their ass whooped like this by 51? 51. Good gracious. But that's how Easter Sunday started off. After you went to church and you gave thanks to the Lord for it as he has risen and all that stuff. And then we get to game two, which involves my Magic against the reigning defending champions, Oklahoma City, reigning defending champ Boston Celtics. As you can tell, I'm not looking forward to this series whatsoever. I'm not. I say it'll be nice if we can make it to six games. I'd be surprised we're making it five. We did take 2 for 3 from them, all right? So, my fellow Magic fans, shut up. I know this series. I know we won 2 of the 3, okay? I get it. This is the playoffs. This is a different type of game now. We're playing a different game here in the playoffs. And why do I say that? Well, you already know is Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are the main stars. And, you know, they're going to get you 2 games at least. So, that's 2 right there. Well, then he won them. Derry White was the one that got them game one. Derry White whooped our ass. Derrick mother and father and White whooped our ass. 30 points, 10 for 18 from the field, 7 for 12 from 3-point range. Derrick mother and father White whooped our ass. Jeez. We let Derry White kick our ass. Tatum 17 points, 8 for 22 from the field, 1 for 8 from 3-point range. Jaylen Brown 16 points, 6 for 14 from the field, over 2 from 3-point range. They combined for 33 points, 14 for 36 from the field, 1 for 10 from 3-point range. And we still lost by 17 points. Peyton Pritchard came off the bench for the Celtics and gave them 19, 6 for 8 from the field, 4 from 6 from 3-point range. And we lost by 17 points. Oh, my gosh. Pablo Banchero, 36 points, 11 boards, 4 assists. Franz Wagner, 23 points, 10 for 24 from the field, 1 for 6 from 3-point range. And that was our offense. There, basically, that's our offense. Wendell Carter Jr. gave me 4 points. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope gave me 6 points. Jonathan Isaac off the bench gave me 7 points. Cole Anthony off the bench gave me 4 points. Anthony Black came off the bench gave me 3 points. Oh my gosh, we are in so much trouble because we can't put up goddamn points. Derrick Wright got the first one. You know Jason Tatum gonna get one. You know Jaylen Brown gonna get one. That's 3 right there. And most likely, in all likelihood, if I know the Boston Celtics, like I think I know the Boston Celtics, one of the games everybody gonna get something. That's gonna even be worse. One night it can be Jrue Holiday. Another night it can be Al Horford. Another night it can be Kristaps Porzingis. Another night, you're going to be Jason Tatum teaming up with Chris Stapleton. You're going to be Jaylen Brown teaming up with Jrue Holiday. Yet. Sam Hauser can come off the bench and whoop our ass. Peyton Pritchard can come off the bench and whoop your ass. If we make it a 5, I'll be surprised. I'm just going to be honest. If we make it a 5, I'd be surprised. There's no way in hell we win in this series. I'm saying, and I'm usually not the one that does this, but when it comes to the Orlando Magic, for whatever reason, we suck at playoff basketball. We suck at playoff basketball. Man, but you won the game 7 with the Cleveland Cavaliers last year. Yeah, and I picked the Cleveland Cavaliers to win in 7. You don't believe me? Ask Cole Johnson, because Cole Johnson and Kuma King. Matter of fact, Cole Johnson and Kuma King was on the show when I did it. I'm like, what? You ain't going to pick your team? It's the Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, the Cleveland Cavaliers is going to win the goddamn series in 7, damn it. And guess what? Cleveland Cavaliers won the series in 7. I speak truth to power when it comes to my teams. I love my teams. I love the Orlando Magic. I love the Florida Gators. I love the Los Angeles Rams. I love the Atlanta Braves. I love the Tampa Bay Lightning. But when it comes to doing my show, Shooting Lights Out, I made a vow to not only myself, but to everybody that support me and watches this program, that I will speak truth to power to my team. I don't care. Honesty is the way to go. I get it. People love controversy. People love obnoxious things being said and crazy things that do that. That's not me. I look at the Orlando Magic. I look at the Boston Celtics. You can tell me, hey, they played three times. Orlando won two of those games. I get it. But it's the playoffs. And I know for a simple fact, my team can't score the freaking ball. They're like 26 in the lead in offense, but they top five and top 10 in defense. That's for damn sure. But you're going against a team that's both top five in offense and defense in the Boston Celtics, who are the reigning defending champions, by the way. As you can see in game one, Derrick White came out and whooped our ass. I would feel better about a game six in Orlando if it was Jason Taylor and Jalen Brown that whooped our ass in game one. No, Derrick White already got the game one out the way. He went ahead and go ahead and whooped our ass. And I still got to wait for Jason Taylor to get his game. I still got to wait for Jalen Brown to get his game. And then in that fourth game, anybody can whoop our ass. I love this team. Young team, still growing. But when your injuries played a part, Parkell getting hurt early in the season, Franz Wagner getting hurt early in the season, Mo Ratner going down for the rest of the season, Jalen Suggs going down for the rest of the season. Yes, injuries played a part in us being 41-41. But what also played a part in us being 41-41 in the season is because we had double-digit leads going into the second half or the fourth quarter, and we blew more of them than not. If I put a number, I can count on my – I can think off the top of my head, there was 15 games, at least 15 games where we had double-digit leads going into the second half or in the fourth quarter, and we lost those games. Add those 15 games to that 41 on the left column of the Orlando Magic, you're looking at 56 wins, and you're talking about a top four seed in the East. But instead, we lost those games. We got put into the play-in where we had to whoop the Atlanta Hawks' ass to even get to the seventh seed when we had the lovely pleasure of playing the champs. We're not winning this series. We're just not. I'm going to be truth to power. If they prove me wrong, I'll be the first one on this show gigging my ass off and all happiness that we have dethroned the champs. But there's no way in hell, if I'm being completely honest with you, we're dethroning the champs. Look, we shot 42% from the field. They shot 45%. We shoot 37% for three-point range. They shot 43. What you want us to do? I know my team. We're a hell of a defending team. We're a hell of a defensive team. But we don't have scoring. Outside of Pablo and Franz Wagner, ain't nobody else come to score. I didn't want to go through it again. Wendell Carter Jr., 4 points. Corey Joseph, who know how to play the game. He was part of Popovich's San Antonio Spurs for a time, and he was with the Toronto Raptors for a time. 0 points. He damn near pulled a Kyle Kuzma, but he did give me two assists, at least. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope from the defending champion Denver Nugget days. 6 points. That's my start. That's the rest of my starters. Those are my other three stars outside of Vance Wilder and Paolo Banchero. Wanted to go to my bench. Isaiah, 18 minutes, 7 points. Cole Anthony, 10 minutes, 4 points. Gary Harris, 14 minutes, 0 points. I'm a Black, 14 minutes, 3 points. Lillard, I got what? 3, 6, 10. I got 17 points from my bench. Peyton Pritchard by his goddamn self. Gave him 19. Pritchard by his damn self outscored the entire Orlando Magic bench. I don't know what y'all want from me, but I'm chill to the power. We're not winning this series. That's no way in the hell we're winning this series. We're going to get our ass whooped. Whether it be in 4, 5, or 6, because the damn sure ain't going to a game 7. Because if we go to a game 7, Boston's going to whirl some heads if we go to a game 7. If we go to a game 7 back in TD Gardens, there's going to be some heads rolling in Boston because One thing about Boston, when they know they're the dominant team, they don't play that. That's why they get. That's why they got sick and tired of seeing Miami got all the goddamn time, because they knew once Boston stopped playing around with Miami, well, we're gonna lose this series because Miami don't lose. Miami loves beating up Boston. We'll see if that holds up when they if they can get past the Cavaliers, which I don't see happening, but especially without Jimmy Butler. But man, we're done. Good season. We made the playoffs back to back seasons, and we're gonna take first round exits in back to back seasons as well. It is what it is. It is what it is. From there, speaking of Miami and Cleveland, that was the next game on the docket on Sunday. And Miami kept the fight going for as long as they could, and then they got their ass punched out. Both Florida teams, the Orlando Magic and the Miami Heat, they both fought in the first half. They kind of fought in the third quarter, and then they got their lights knocked out midway through the third quarter on to the fourth quarter. They got their lights knocked out. 121-100 with the win for the top seed in the East, the Cleveland Cavaliers over the eighth seed, which was really the 10th seed, by the way, in the Miami Heat. They went to Chicago. They whooped Chicago last. They went to Atlanta. They whooped and they beat Atlanta in overtime. Which reminds me, Trae Young, how about you win one of your two games in the play-in? That way you can be in the playoffs. Shut up. Donovan Mitchell, 30 points, 11 for 19 from the field, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Darius Garland, 27 points, 10 for 17 from the field, 5 for 9 from 3-point range, and 5 assists. And then Ty Jerome off the bench, 28 points, 10 for 15 from the field, 5 for 8 from 3-point range, and 5 rebounds. He was the one who put the knockout punch to the Miami Heat. It was Ty Jerome. Ty Jerome knocked the Miami Heat out. You didn't expect 28 points from off the bench from him. He knocked them out. They just caught it what it is. He gave them the knockout blow. He gave them that Mike Tyson final bam. And Miami stumbled back, fell to the ground, and it was a 10 count from there. Because you ain't expect that from him. Now, for the Miami Heat, you got 24-9 from Bam Adebayo. You got 21 from Tyler Hero. You did get 14 from Andrew Wiggins. Outside of that, well, you got 10 from David. You got 18 from Davion Mitchell, which is very good. Because Davion Mitchell, he can hoop, but nobody really gives Davion Mitchell a chance to play. Maybe he'll get some opportunities in Miami. But he really don't get the opportunities that he should get. He can play. He's a very hard defender, but he can score the ball too. Gave you 18 points. With 9 assists out of the way too. But yeah, you got your nights locked out. I mean, not Chaz. Cleanly out, okay? 51% from the field for the Cavs, 42% from three-point range for the Cavs, 42% shooting percentage from three-point range for the Miami Heat, and then 49% from the field. It's just the barrage of threes in consecutive fashion from Cleveland. It was just bam, bam, bam. Like, goddamn. Bam, my ball is looking like that's nothing you can do. When teams like Oklahoma City, when teams like the Cleveland Cavaliers, with teams like the Boston Celtics, when them three start dropping, just throw your hands up. Like, it's over, man. There's nothing you can do. Because they come in barrages. It's like a barrage of threes just hit you all at once. And it's like, before you looked up, like, damn. I'm already down 15 already? The hell? That's how, when they say the three ball has changed the game, this is what they're talking about. You look at this, you're like, that's not much of a difference in percentages wise when you look at the shooting, right? But when you just bombing threes on a team, like, let me see here. Cleveland, 18 for 43 from three-point range. Miami, 13 for 31. Field goals. Cleveland, 45 for 88. Miami, 39 for 80. When you get bombarded by threes and they just keep dropping, you just like, what the hell, bro? Like, goddamn. And it's like your threes they like they take forever to go in. Their threes is just coming in barrages, and you're down. Look at the final score. They won by 21. They won by 21, but they shot the same percentage with 3-point range. But when Cleveland hit threes, they hit them in a row. And it's like, bam, bam, bam. And it's, and they be adding very quickly. You can have a 4-point lead at one point in time, and next thing you know, Cleveland whip off 4 straight threes, and all of a sudden you're down 8. Like, damn! What the hell just happened? And it kills your morale. You be like, well, damn, we really didn't shoot. We shot the same percentage. Then you go back and leave, like, well, damn, they when they went on that run, they hit about 4 or 5 threes. And that's why they do it. They hit you with a wave of threes, and you're like, well, damn, we were just in the game. And then the game broke open. It's like, how did? Because when they go on run, it's the three ball. It's the three ball run. They hitting 3, 4, 5 threes consecutively while stopping you on the other end. And before you know it, you getting your ass whooped. That is the Cleveland Cavaliers. That is the Boston Celtics. That is the Oklahoma City Thunder. Both one seeds and one and a NDD defending champs. They so good at stopping you on defense that when they go on a run, it's a run full of threes, and then you look up, you're down double digits all of a sudden. And then you have no more confidence after that. Your confidence is gone out the door because you just got your ass whooped in a span of 2 minutes. At any point in the game, you just got your ass whooped in a span of 2 minutes, just like that. And it's like, where did it go all wrong? Well, they stopped you from scoring, and they just went on a 15-0 run. And it's all of them with threes. And it's just a wave of threes that's hitting. Bam! It's like, oh, a three here, and then, oh, get a stop. It's a bucket there, and then, oh, they made it too. How nice. Then, no, it's bam, three. Oh, they get it still. Bam, three. Oh, block shot. Bam, three. That's 9 straight points right there. Not only is it 9 straight points, they stole the ball from you, they blocked your shot, and you missed, and you missed the open shot. And just like that, they got 9 points off the rim. Literally, you're looking at a 15-point swing just like that. You had 6 points. You didn't convert on them. They just hit 3 straight threes up for a 9 on run. A 15-point swing just like that. And all of a sudden, and plus you on the road too. So now the crowd is into it. The building is buzzing and jumping. And you have lost all control in a span of 2 minutes of a game. That's how quick this happens. And that's what happened to Miami. Miami got stuck on offense. Cleveland did not. And before they knew it, they found themselves down double digits. And they looking like, what the hell just hit us? A bunch of threes by the Cleveland Cavaliers that said, get y'all ass up out of our building. Orlando, what the hell just happened? We was up one at halftime. Well, Derrick Wright and the Boston Celtics said, we hitting y'all with a wave of threes. Get your ass up out of TD Garden. We'll see y'all in for game 2. Oh, Shai Gilgeous ain't doing his thing. Don't worry. Hey, Luke Dort, get in here. Hey, Aaron Riggins, get in here. Just a host of different Thunder whooping on the Memphis Grizzlies' ass in the tomb of 51-point blowout. That's what they do. And then the Houston Rockets, the number 2 seed in the West. Another great defensive team going against the Golden State Warriors, who are full of champions. Draymond Green, Steph Curry, playoff Jimmy arriving in style for the Golden State Warriors. And guess what? Speaking of threes, who is the main guy? Who is the face of the 3-point ball? Steph Curry. 31 points, 12 for 19, 5 for 9 from 3-point range, 6 rebounds. Oh, y'all didn't think Steph Curry heard all that talk about how the last time he played at Houston Rockets, he was held to 3 points. He hit no threes. He couldn't even buy a field goal against the Rockets. And Amy Thompson did a hell of a job against him. He came and he waited for his moment and he busted. And when he busted open, that was it because Jimmy was already on one. Jimmy bought 25 points, 7 for 19 from the field, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. and the long road team to win on Sunday. Matter of fact, the long road team that made it a game on Sunday, by the way, for the second half at least, was the Golden State Warriors, who won by 10. And y'all said he did all this going talk about the Houston Rockets. And I'm like, y'all do realize they're going against the Golden State Warriors, right? It's safe to say Jalen Green got a taste of the playoffs and he did not like it. 3-for-15 from the field for 7 points. Shogun, damn sure he showed up. 26 points, 9 boards. Amon Thompson only gave you 8 points. Dylan Brooks, 11 points. Fred VanVleet, 10 points. Jabari Smith Jr., 11 points. But y'all gave Steph Curry fuel to go off on the Rockets. Like, I'm going to go ahead and look at the team statistics right now. Golden State, 47% from the field, 37% from three-point range, and Houston, 39% from the field, 20% from three-point range. Y'all tell me, how's the Houston Rockets going to beat the Golden State Warriors with Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry on the team? That's going to be my simple question for this. How is the Houston Rockets supposed to win this series over the Golden State Warriors with playoff Jimmy in attendance and then Steph Curry showing up? Because Steph Curry always shows up in the playoffs. And he showed up in game one. And playoff Jimmy said, hey, playoff Jimmy's in Golden State now. Welcome to the playoff Butler era in Golden State. I ain't saying Golden State going to win in a runaway. But explain to me, how is the Houston Rockets going to beat the Golden State Warriors 4 times to advance to the next round? Tell me how. Defense? Okay. But we all seen Steph. There's no defense for Steph Curry. Just better hope he miss more shots than he makes. That's all to it. Which he did not do in game one. The man made 5 3-pointers, missed 4. The man missed 7 shots, made 12. You're losing that game. You're losing that game. Because Jimmy Butler, he ain't a three-point shooter. He going to kill you in the inside. He going to get the mid-range, and he going to get you inside. Which opens up for Steph Curry to do what he does best. Light your ass up from 3. Which he did against the Houston Rockets in game one last night to close out the game ones for the NBA playoffs. It's just what it is. The three-point ball is such a difference maker in these games that it literally gets your ass whooped in a span of 2 minutes and kill everything that you tried to do. That's how bad the three-point ball is in these playoffs right now. After game ones. One final quick break, and then we're going to get you ready for the upcoming game twos.
Everything Boston. I love you, you morons. You kiss from the block, new edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Go yourself again, Jason.
In a world where chronicles of the past are brought to the streams, whether the content is relatable or completely beyond your realm of life, there is no shadow of a doubt that this show is absolutely full of shenanigans. Get ready for
D. Willie in the Evening
this Sunday at 10:05 p.m. Eastern,
exclusively on Sertoba Media. Where the struggle is real to be awesome.
Shop hats and official sports gear at Lids. Lids is the leader and number one destination for hats, gears, and everything that moves you, making it the perfect shop for fans to find official sports hats, merchandise, and gear. Represent your team your town, and your style with a snapback adjustable fitted hat or beanie. From thousands of college and pro teams, browse the very latest sports jerseys and t-shirts from the best teams out there. Lids has officially licensed professional and college sport team apparel and hats featuring the hottest brands and trends. Shop online or visit one of the 100 stores across the country. Lock.
All right, welcome back. As we get ready to close out this show for today, let's get you ready for the week that's ahead for the NBA playoffs. We got game twos tonight on TNT. The Detroit Pistons and the New York Knicks battle it out in Madison Square Garden. I want to see how the Detroit Pistons respond. Do they come out and say, you know what? Yeah, they whooped their ass in the fourth quarter, but we was hanging with them for three quarters. I want to see Kate Cunningham, you know, the Isaiah Stewart, the Jaren Durham's of the world say, okay, we got a taste of the playoffs now. I understand. It is truly a 48-minute game here. So let's go ahead, let's play 48 minutes and then see what happens at the end. If you're a New York Knicks fan, for the Knicks, I want to see the Knicks put their foot on the Detroit Pistons' neck and say, y'all not built for this yet. Y'all have to learn. And while you're learning, you're gonna take this ass whooping. That's what I want to see from the Knicks. I want to see if the Knicks got that killer instinct to say, okay. You hung out with us for the first three quarters before we whooped y'all in the fourth quarter. Now you're finna get a taste of the weird ass woman that we finna give y'all because y'all don't understand this magnitude of these playoffs. Okay, that's game one, 7:30, TNT, True TV, HBO Max. Game two, 10 p.m., L.A. Clippers, Denver Nuggets out in Denver, Colorado. I actually want to say Denver, do me a favor and go ahead and beat the brakes off the L.A. Clippers so you can send them back to L.A. to the Detroit Dome with their tails between their legs because somehow they don't know how to keep a 15-point lead against y'all for whatever reason. If the Clippers go up 15 at any point in time, I'm going to hold my head and be like, oh, my God, they about to blow another guy. You blew 8 15-point leads to the Denver Nuggets in the playoffs. Like, it amazes me that statistic was put on the screen. 8th time you had a 15-point lead against the Denver Nuggets and you blew it. But it's the Clippers, so they might actually show up tonight and actually finish the job knowing the Clippers. So inconsistent, it makes me sick to my damn stomach. But that's tonight. Pistons, Knicks, Clippers, Nuggets. Tomorrow, the Milwaukee Bucks, Indiana Pacers, they get together for game two. Hopefully, we'll get word either later today or early tomorrow on the status of Dame Lillard. If it's not game two, it'll be game three when the series shifts to Milwaukee for games three and four. But can Giannis get some goddamn help, please? Jeez. The man had himself on the ass with me, but he won't score 34 damn points. Kyle Kuzma, can you do something? If your shot ain't falling, give me a rebound. Give me an assist. Give me a steal. Give me a block. Give me something. Something. Jeez. Do whatever. I don't care. Don't want to see no goddamn zeros across the board and you playing 20-plus minutes. Do something. Just do something. Anything. I don't care. Just do anything. And then for the Pacers, you feel like you're the better team. Do what you got to do. Defend the home court so you can go to Milwaukee and try to end the series in four. If not five, maybe six. If you're the Indiana Pacers, that's the mindset you need to have. We're the better team. Let's defend home court. I don't know what to say to Oklahoma City at this point in time. You won a game by 51 points. Do it again. No, that's all I'm saying. Do it again. Don't be one of the teams that win by a blowout and all of a sudden they get your ass blown out. Because Memphis, this testicle of fortitude in the Memphis Grizzlies. This testicle of fortitude in the Memphis Grizzlies and John Moran and crew, your ass going to show up for game two on Tuesday and you're going to fight back. Now, Oklahoma City, you're the number one team in the NBA. You won 68 games. Can you show us why you're the number one team? One game ain't going to cut it, ladies and gentlemen. You got your ass whooped by the Dallas Mavericks in the Western Conference semifinals last year. trust me, that's conference semifinals losses bring a little more larger than you winning 68 games this year. So put your foot on Memphis' necks and break it. Memphis, show some damn balls. And then the nightcap for game two, by the way, NBA TV has the Milwaukee Bucks and Indiana Pacers, while TNT will be covering both the Western Conference games. Memphis and OKC then following that, Minnesota and the Los Angeles Lakers in game two. This is quite simple. If Luka and LeBron go down 0-2 because they lost both games in LA, oh, it's going to be some trouble in the City of Angels. Ant-Man, if you're 100%, go for their throat. That's all I'm saying. Go for their throat. Let's go for their throat. If you don't catch what they throw in game two, it's all good. You did what you're supposed to do. You took one in LA, you got home court advantage. And then we get to Wednesday. Also, TNT is carrying two of the games. NBA TV is carrying one of the games. The game that NBA TV is carrying is the 7:30 game in the middle, Miami and Cleveland. Let's see if Miami going to fight back after getting their ass basically in the fourth quarter against the Cleveland Cavaliers. For the 7 o'clock game that's on TNT of the doubleheader, Orlando and Boston. Let's see if my Magic going to put up a fight. They fall in the first half. They got their ass knocked out in the second half. Let's see if they can pull up a fight again. Let's see if this fight going to last longer than 24 minutes. Or with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and the reigning defending champions show Orlando why they are the reigning defending champions. And then after that game, at 9:30, close to 9:30 or after 9:30, Golden State, Houston in game two. Have Houston learned any lessons from game one of playing a champion in Steph Curry and then playoff Jimmy Butler? Does anybody from Golden State want to help playoff Jimmy and Steph Curry to take a 2-0 lead and take both games in Houston? Something I'm looking at. Ime Udoka, you have been in playoff atmosphere when you used to coach in the Boston Celtics. You know how this goes. You're the coach of the Houston Rockets. Get these boys together. You won 52 games. Show why you won 52 games. That's all to it. And that's all I got. So with that being said, thank y'all for tuning in. Thank you for watching on either the Playmakers Bar X account or the Playmakers Bar YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button. If you own the Playmakers Bar X account, go over to the YouTube, type in the Playmakers Bar, and then subscribe to our YouTube channel. So anytime we are live to do shows or even when we post some video, because you can see them and you can comment on and do whatever. But that's all the time I got for you today. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for watching. Remember, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Also, the Real Rise Radio as well. I am the Playmaker signing off, and I'll catch y'all later.
You've done good. You've done great. But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You got to keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you got to keep pushing. Now, finish your campaign.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go. Let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Out.
Masterpiece.